2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Love that passage. Here it is in the Amplified. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. That's powerful. You know, the cool thing of it is that, you know, it's not that the scripture isn't saying that I am this way. It's saying the fact that the Spirit of God is this way. He's a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And I have that spirit in me. So this isn't about me or my personality type or anything like that. This is the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit of power. Remember Paul prayed to the Ephesians, I pray you get a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward you. He is a spirit of power. Spirit of love, told the Romans, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That love is in there. And the spirit of a sound mind, calm, well-balanced mind, self-discipline. You might think, oh, I know people like that. Well, the Spirit's like that, and that Spirit lives in you. And he gave you that spirit of a well-balanced, calm mind. And this morning, what I want to do is simply talk about the spirit of a sound mind. And this kind of goes hand in hand with some of the other messages that we've had. We've been talking recently about thoughts and the origin of thoughts, where they come from, different sources. You know, we basically said that all the thoughts in your head aren't there because you just thought them up. Thoughts come at you from various avenues. Paul said, the law of sin and death in my members wars against the law of my mind. That's just happening all by itself. It just happens. We know that powers and principalities wrestle against our minds. And what does it look like in real life when that happens? Thoughts come at us, and we have to deal with those thoughts. And so then last week we talked a little bit about thought management and kind of how that process works, kind of at a high level. This morning I want to kind of go a little bit deeper in some areas and talk about the spirit of a sound mind and talk about what it means to have the spirit of a sound mind. We know that the spirit of a sound mind lives in us. And so it's a matter of learning how to cooperate with the Spirit of God who's already been put in us. And if we'll yield to the spirit of a sound mind, we'll have a sound mind. And so this morning we're going to kind of look at different ways we work with the spirit of a sound mind, again, who's in us. And one of the first things that we do, we have to realize that the spirit of a sound mind and kind of learning about the spirit of a sound mind is that as we work with the spirit of a sound mind, we are going to have a what I'll call a proactive mind, all right? In other words, we are going to be proactively doing something with our mind. We talked again last week about some of this stuff. Romans 8, 5 through 8, the scripture says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, we could say, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We see here that there's kind of an interesting, you know, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It says back in Romans 8, 2 there, and then it kind of goes on to say how it happens. What happens is when we begin to live according to the flesh, we set our minds on the things of the flesh. There's a setting your mind on the things of the flesh. You know, if you're going to yield to the flesh, there's something that happens before you yield to the flesh. You set your mind on the things of the flesh. You set your mind there. That's what happens. And that puts into motion that law of sin and death. But when you set your mind on the isn't that an interesting phrase? The things of the Spirit. That's pretty vague. Pretty high level. We're going to talk a little bit more about what that means. But you're setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. When that happens, when you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, you become spiritually minded, verse 6 says. And the result is life and peace. This morning, You know, just kind of that word, God loves you. That's a powerful truth. That is a thing of the Spirit, the fact that God loves you. And there is just something about setting your mind on the fact that God loves you. While I was a sinner, He loved me. He sent Jesus. He is there for me. There is a throne of grace open 24/7 that I can boldly come to and at any time obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. What can man do to me? I begin to think about the fact that God loves me. And that love causes me to be spiritual. Does it fix all my problems? Does it make my budget automatically work at the end of the month? Does it make that person like me? Does that make that circumstance situation? No, but what does happen? Life and peace. Something happens as I'm beginning to set my mind on the things of the Spirit, like the fact that God loves me. There's life and there's peace. We're talking about the spirit of a sound mind this morning and how we cooperate with the spirit of a sound mind. I want a sound mind. Do you want a sound mind? Okay. You know, you can have a sound mind in the midst of trouble. You can have the sound mind in the midst of confusion and chaos. You can have a sound mind. You can have a peace that passes your understanding. And that is really, again, this morning, what we're wanting to look at, how to cooperate with the spirit of a sound mind. So, carnal-mindedness. All right? I don't know if you've ever... I know I've had this kind of working sometimes with crafts and different things like that, but you can maybe be working with some... you know, some cardboard and things like that, and making little different things, and you're working with glue and stuff, and all of a sudden you're kind of working along, you got this little piece of paper on your finger, and you try to take it off with this hand, and now it's stuck on that hand, and you're doing this, and then you're doing this, and it's like, oh, this dumb little piece of paper, I want to get it off, you know? You think, I got a paper problem, but you really don't have a paper problem, you have a glue problem, all right? And carnal-mindedness is kind of like that. When you get that agitated, angry, frustrated, hurtful, sticky carnal mindset, everything sticks. Every little thing sticks. And you're trying to take this off and this off, but it's like you can't. Every little thing is bugging you, and it's really not that you have a glue problem. You have a carnal-mindedness problem. I'm trying to live right, but it's not working. There's a carnal-mindedness, the Bible says, that creates a situation to where you're not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. As you're trying to live for God, the enemy's just trying to do one thing to you. Get you carnally minded. If he can get you carnally minded, you can't be subject to the law of God. You can't. You can't stay carnally minded and obey God. I want to be free from that thing. I'm going to resist it. Just get carnally minded. I try to be free. But boy, if I can get spiritually minded. You see, the carnal mind isn't subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. But the spiritual mind is subject to the law of God, and indeed can be. So there is something going on again here for your mind. Now, I've been given the spirit of a sound mind. Praise God. In one sense, it's game over. I got it. That spirit of a sound mind is in me. But what are we talking about? Cooperating? How do I cooperate with that spirit of a sound mind so the spirit of a sound mind that's in me can affect my mind? We're talking about being proactive. And that's what the scripture is talking about. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You are just as proactive when you flesh out as you are proactive when you live for God. You're setting your mind on purpose somewhere. That's giving you energy to do whatever that is, good or bad. And so we see here, one of the things that we do, we are going to proactively set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Like we said, that carnal-mindedness can kind of have that feeling to where things just kind of, they're bugging us, they're sticking to us. What's the solution for that? Ephesians 5 tells us this. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, so that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. There is a washing of the water of the word as you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. There's a washing that takes place that gets the glue off of you, so to speak. And thoughts can come your way and they don't stick. Because there's just something about when I have been setting my mind on the things of the Spirit, and I've been just basking in the fact that God loves me, that he is for me, that no matter what anybody else has done to me, he has always loved me. He has never been culpable for anything that anybody's ever done to me, that he's always been behind me. In him is light. There's no darkness at all, not even a little bit. He is for me. I'll tell you, you begin to think about that, and it has a washing effect. And then so-and-so thinks such and such... Who cares? God loves me. God loves me. God. There's a soundness of mind that makes that you don't fret the little stuff anymore. It's an amazing thing. It's powerful. The spirit of a sound mind is in you. As you begin to proactively set your mind on the things of the Spirit, that begins to work in your life. Here's just a few kind of... Romans puts it this way. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here again, we see we've got a choice. You know, what am I going to do? I've got these two avenues of thought. Am I going to conform to the world, or am I going to be transformed? Conform or be transformed. You have to proactively do this, don't you? I mean, you can't just sit still. If you sit still mentally, you will conform to the pattern of the world. You just will. It takes a proactive effort to begin to say, no, I'm not going to just yield to the flesh stuff. I am going to set my mind on the things of the Spirit. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to take his word and I'm going to live right before him and I'm going to overcome in areas of my life and renew my mind and prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Present my body as a living sacrifice. Presenting your body a living sacrifice doesn't just happen. That's something you on purpose do. Because your body, remember we said last week, the law of sin and death, it's warring against the law of your mind. Your body's trying to tell you what to do. Your body is telling you, I'm hungry for this now. I want to do this now. I want to see this now. I want to go here now. And if it's just yield, 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 you know, you're going to end up conform, conform, conform. But it's a proactive mindset that says, nope, nope, no, I'm going to proactively begin to just set my mind on things above. And here's just a series of scriptures I love to kind of go through to help strengthen that proactive mindset in my own mind. Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Wow, the spirit of a sound mind. Keeping our mind stayed on him, perfect peace. Colossians 3:1-3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forsake, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her. She'll promote you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. These are pictures of what it looks like when you begin to wash, you begin to get washed by the water of the Word. You begin to get proactive. Now, we've all heard and known our whole Christian life, we need to have a devotion time, we need to pray, we need to read our Bibles, da-da-da-da-da. But we got to kind of look under the hood of those things and realize there is spiritual power, strength, things that are going on as we proactively set our mind on those things above. Did I know that God loves me before I came here today? Yeah, been knowing it for a while. But when I on purpose set my mind on the fact God loves me, God, the one who created the trees, the water, this planet, my brain, that one, omnipotent, all-knowing, that powerful, awesome God loves me. He loves me. He suffers long and is kind toward me. He believes the best. He never fails. That love never wanes toward me, Ed House, toward you, you. And you can think about that. Something you've been knowing your whole life, and it still has the power and the strength to wash the junk away. That's something that we can do. I don't have to wait for an experience in God. I can proactively set my mind on those things above and have an experience in God. And experience that cleansing that comes from the water of the Word. I just love how generic this stuff is. Get wisdom. Just the law of the Lord. You know, true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Those are some great just general descriptions again. Things above. All right? Very general. It's an amazing show of faith because I got specific problems, I've got specific needs, I got specific issues, and God says just generally begin to look at the goodness of God, worship God. I mean, I've been there to where I'm trying to fall asleep at night, and I'll just go, your mind's just kind of in a swirl. I'll just say, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Just begin to see the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And it's amazing how when I will begin to set my mind on what the Word of God says, the busyness of my mind just has to quiet down and think about this. And there's spiritual power. Why is that? Because there's a spirit of a sound mind. It's not mind over matter. When you set your mind on those things above, the spirit, it's like you're flipping the switch to that spirit of a sound mind. And it's like, I sense, wow, soundness coming back to my mind. As I'm simply proactively setting my mind on things above. It's not a gimmick. It's not a formula. It's cooperating with the Spirit of God, the spirit of a sound mind that you have been given. And it's powerful. Just try it out. Just try it out in your own life. Just turn that channel to the Word of God. It's an amazing thing to see it happens. Whatever he does will prosper. Just as he meditates in his law day and night, he'll be like a tree planted. There's just the stability that'll just come from that meditating in his word. So we know that there is a proactiveness about cooperating with the Spirit of God, a proactive mind. There is also a reactive mind, too. You're proactive, realizing you just can't sit back and just yield to all the whims that come through. But there is going to also be a reactive side to a spirit of a sound mind. It'd be great if this was just a one-dimensional deal. But there are going to be things, because we wrestle. You know, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. Against what? Powers, principalities. Those are those spiritual forces, like we said. What does it look like in real life when a power and a principality attacks you? It registers as thoughts in your mind. Satan goes about as roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What does that look like in real life? Roaring thoughts in your head. Could be a spirit of fear, whatever it is that you're dealing with. But you're dealing with something emotionally, mentally, that's in the law of the mind. And there are going to be times that especially, even as you're endeavoring to set your mind on things above, that there are going to be things that you're going to also have to react to. Things that are coming against your mind. And again, we said this is kind of what it looks like. When the law of sin and death that's in your members and your flesh wars against your mind, it looks like thoughts of these. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. That's what it looks like in your mind, thoughts of those things when the law of sin and death wars against your mind. It doesn't mean that you're just thinking these things up. You're living in a mortal body that has these appetites and is saying, feed me. And it registers as thoughts along these lines. And that spirit of a sound mind, yes, it's going to be proactive, but it's also going to react to certain areas where you're getting some bad input, you know,
from your body. Could be the flesh, the world, the devil. We said there's all different kind of avenues and input that you can have. But that's what it looks like. You are getting these thoughts in your head. Again, this isn't personality type. This is just taking inventory of your existence. You're in one of these bodies. You got this to deal with. You do. I'm not saying you got all of them, but you got that these are all easily beset you. But there's things in that list, you know, that are gonna affect you. And like we said too, the world, the spirit of the world, is kind of like the amen corner for the works of the flesh. In other words, the world, the spirit of the world, comes in behind the flesh and says, "Yes, amen. That's great." A lot of TV shows, a lot of movies are designed to excite and to stir up this stuff in you to bring you into bondage to the things of the flesh. That's how the world and the flesh work together. Okay? And the world glorifies the flesh. I mean, it'll glorify adultery, fornication. The world glorifies hatred and contentions and jealousies. It does. You're bad, I'm badder. I'm tough, look out for me, dark. And that's what's real, man. No, it's just real fleshy. Go ahead and make my day. Yeah, oh yeah. It's glorified flesh. And you can get off in a fantasy land of strife and anger and hatred and think you're real. It's just garden variety flesh. But it takes spiritual eyes and the Word of God to see through it. So, if you're going to have a real spirit of a sound mind and really be spiritual and sound, you're going to have to react to some things. There's going to have to be some things that we have to come against. Here's the process. James just says, "Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God." In other words, God isn't coming at you with that junk. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That's the law of sin and death warring against the mind. And when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin was full grown, brings forth death. That's the process that we have to deal with. So we've got some resisting to do. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 puts it this way. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So here we see that sound mind, if you're going to cooperate with the spirit of a sound mind in you, isn't just going to tolerate and put up with some stuff. The spirit of a sound mind is going to fight back. You know, I love that scripture. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love, it drives it away. Love, it doesn't just tolerate fear. No. There's a barometer. No. I'm going deeper in the love of God, but I'm going to resist the junk, the fear junk. This is strong language, isn't it? Cast down, pulling down, bringing into captivity. That's some reaction. That's some fighting back language. And there is an area where we got to fight back. We just can't put up with stuff. We're going to have to resist some things. And this is where you have authority in the name of Jesus that's above every name. The name of what? All powers and principalities, those things that war against your mind. You have authority in Jesus' name to break the power of things off. Do you realize that? There can be things in your head, and you got all these thoughts, and you've been trying to work through the thoughts. You can stop and say, "I break the power of the spirit behind those thoughts. In Jesus' name, I break your power. Spirit of fear, you're gone in Jesus' name. Spirit of strife, spirit of dissension, spirit of selfish ambition, contention, jealousy, hatred, in Jesus' name, I break the power of the spirit behind that now in Jesus' name. I command you to leave." And you'll just have it's like relief to your mind. Well, what happened? You're just breaking the spiritual force behind those thoughts. It's never time to work through every little thought. You can begin to break some things. And that's resisting. This spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, it's there. And as the church is growing, gone are the days that we can just sit around and, you know, look dignified and get our spiritual brains beaten up. No, we're going to have to rise up in the name of Jesus and take authority over some things, whether it looks dignified or not, and get free and cooperate with the spirit of a sound mind that's on the inside of us and live free in some things. And so there is, with the spirit of a sound mind, an area of a reactive mind that says, "No, I'm not going to do it." And I'll tell you what, The spirit world responds. The spirit world and those powers and principalities, you know, I did put the story in here. It's in Acts 19. It's the story of the seven sons of Sceva. A lot of you might know that one. Basically, these guys were trying to drive out demons in the name of Jesus, but they didn't know the Lord. All right? And so what they did was they said, okay, you foul spirit, I cast you out in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. And the spirit answered back, the seven sons of Sceva, said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And as the story goes, the demon and that man went and beat up those guys, seven of them, beat them naked, and they went away running away wounded. All right? Think about that. Now, the Apostle Paul, the Bible tells us in terms of physical stature, was probably a very small man. He said, in presence of a base, not a very powerful man. You know, if you were to have a battle royale between the Apostle Paul and the seven sons of Sceva, it wouldn't be much of a match in the natural. But if you could do a man on the street interview with that demon spirit and say, hey, who would you rather fight, the seven sons of Sceva or the Apostle Paul? He'd say, I'll take the seven sons of Sceva any day. I know Paul. Ain't going to be no rematch. Don't want one. Paul knows his authority in Christ. Spirits, those things that are coming, they're not looking at your biceps, they're not looking at your agility, they're not looking at your strength, they're not looking at the money you got in the bank. They are looking at people who know their authority in Christ. Who know who they are in Christ, and that know who Jesus Christ, what Jesus did for them when he spoiled those powers and principalities and made a show of them openly. Satan is concerned with, powers and principalities are concerned with people who know who they are in Christ, who know their spiritual authority. The spirit of a sound mind on the inside of you knows and realizes that you have spiritual authority. That's why it's over and over in the scripture. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Give no place to the devil. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. There are admonitions to resist. The spirit of a sound mind knows that there are going to be times when you are going to resist. And you need to resist in the name of Jesus. And there are those times, praise God, how do we resist? I love, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. Scripture tells us in Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The word that God speaks is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, the immortal spirit, of joints, marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting, analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. That's powerful. The word is powerful. And that word in your mouth spoken is powerful in the spirit realm. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. He is talking about the power and the authority of the spoken word. Prayer is a form of speaking the word. When you begin to pray, and you begin to pray, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, his word, we know that he hears us. If we know that he hears us, we know that we have the things that we have requested, petitioned of him. There is a powerful force in our mouth as we begin to speak it. Paul put it this way. He said, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. There is a power in the spirit realm. Having a theological understanding of your authority in Christ will not get the devil resisted off of your life. That's good to have it. It's step one. But it is going to be when you open your mouth and speak and declare and resist in the name of Jesus. Turn these stones into bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's our Lord Jesus Christ quoting this Bible to resist the devil. What a great example. Bow down and worship me. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God only. In him will you serve. We have spiritual authority. That spirit of a sound mind is going to be reactive with authority. It is going to say no. It is going to push back. It's going to take authority over those forces that are working against it. So it is reactive in nature. So you've got a mind that is proactively setting, being set on the Word of God, the things of God. It's reactively resisting, taking authority in Christ where you need to take authority. But it's also a mind at rest. How could you have all that going on and have a mind at rest? Isn't that what the Scripture said? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on you because he trusts in you. In fact, as long as you're doing step one, and if you're not doing one and two, your mind will not be at rest. If you're letting your mind just drift wherever and you're not resisting anything and just kind of going, your mind will not be at rest. As you set your mind on those things above, as you resist, there will be a mind, we'll just say a mind at rest. Romans 4, 20 through 21 says, this is talking about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. This is such a powerful truth, and it's such a powerful revelation that Abraham had. You know, we walk by faith, we live by faith, but Abraham was convinced of something in verse 21. He was convinced that what he, God, had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham stopped. You know, he didn't start out this way, did he? No, he made some blunders along the way. Why was he making that? He was trying to perform it. Abraham was trying to perform what God had promised. And we kind of know some of those stories that went bad. But at some point in his life, he came to the conclusion, no, he's able to perform that which he has promised. The promise that the devil will resist, will flee when I resist, he performs that. I've got the promise, but I'm resisting in Jesus' name. Your power is broken. I'm not worried whether my volume was right. I'm not worried whether I said it passionately enough or not. And all that theatrics are gone. No, it's your promise. I just come to the point. This is where we're talking about what? A spirit of a sound mind is a mind at rest. In other words, as I am doing this, I am fully persuaded he is able to perform that which he has promised. Praise God. I'm not to perform what he promised. I'm going to be obedient to do my part, but he performs that which he has promised. Praise God. He does the performing of it. I resist in Jesus' name, according to the authority, but I rest then in Jesus' name that he performs that which he has promised. He has promised that if I would resist, submit myself to God, resist the devil, that he would flee. That's his promise to me. So I submit to God, I resist the devil, and I rest in the fact that he is able to perform that which he has promised. In other words, the spirit of a sound mind is not trying to perform that which God has promised. The spirit of a sound mind is a spirit at rest, walking in the promises of God. Praise God. Set my mind on things above. Wow, praise God. I'm tripping out this morning in the love of God. It's amazing. Wow. I mean, you could just stop there and really think about it and really go some places and just get amazingly spiritually minded as you think about that one spiritual thing about how much God loves you and be like a tree planted the more you think about it, the more it secures you. It's amazing. All I'm doing is just setting my mind on things above. He's performing the law of the Spirit of life that's causing me to be spiritually minded. I'm not worried about trying to get spiritually minded. I'm just doing what he said. Proactively setting my mind on things above. Just resisting where he says resist. I'm not trying to, oh, is he gone? Is he really gone? Did he really flee? Nope, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He's performing that which he has promised. And I'm just doing my part. Praise God. It's a spirit of a sound mind. Hebrews 6:11 through 12 says this. It says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Another beautiful passage of how there's that faith and patience inheriting the promises of God. There is a patience involved. In other words, you are patient as you are beginning to cultivate the spirit of a son. You're working with the Spirit of God. God is not, in other words, as the spirit of a sound mind is working on the inside of you, he is not there with your, you know, under the interrogation lights, trying to nitpick and analyze. No, he isn't there. He realized that there's going to be a patience. There's going to be a learning. There's going to be a developing. There's going to be a growing in this. You know, remember the Bible says, we wrestle. We wrestle against flesh and blood, right? It doesn't just say, you know, it says there is going to be that back and forth where that thing is going to be fighting back at me. And as I'm working out, like Abraham, come to the conclusion, man, I got convinced he was able to perform what he promised. As you begin to walk in this, you're going to have to, there's going to be a patience about it. Well, I was dealing with fear, and I said, fear be gone in Jesus' name. And it was great for about 5 seconds. You know, about, you know, another 30 seconds later, I got it back again, kind of boomerang back again. Well, there's going to be a patience as you begin to work with, and this is where we begin to declare what God has said. And this is where confession comes into it too, and where meditation, that follow through of meditation comes in. We say, Lord, I thank you. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You haven't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I know that by faith, praise God, that as I have resisted the devil, he has fled from me. What am I doing? I'm proactively getting spiritually minded in the middle of it. Even as I'm wrestling, I'm getting spiritually minded. What happens is this stuff works together. You get the revelation of some things. You can have the theology of something, but as you begin to work with it in real life, you'll get the revelation of it. And then all of a sudden, when you stay with it and stay with the truth, and all of a sudden that thing's broken off of you. And then next week when that same thing comes back, and no, I've been down that path. No, in Jesus' name, you're gone. But you begin to develop, you begin to inherit some things. Now, you have it back from Calvary. He spoiled the powers of principalities 2,000 years ago. But you begin to partake of these benefits. But there's a patience that you got to be able to have with yourself. Because a lot of times people understand the first 2 points. I got to set my mind, I got to resist. But if everything just doesn't just go right, they'll get impatient, they'll give up and say this doesn't work. You know, I love what the Bible says here. Don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Sometimes people will say, I tried that faith stuff and it doesn't work. Have you tried the patience stuff? Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. There's going to be a patience, isn't there? There's going to be a working with it. It's not a fast food drive-through thing. But you know what also happens in that process of patience? You get to know God better. You get to know you better. You learn how to walk in love better. You learn a lot of different things through the patience stuff. And you realize after you're beholding the promise that there was more to it than just getting the promise. There's a growing up spiritually that takes place in the patience. But it's a mind at rest, knowing that I'm not anxious. The Bible tells me to be anxious for nothing. So I know that means the Holy Spirit isn't anxious toward me, if I'm told to be anxious toward nothing. So God isn't anxious. The Spirit of God isn't anxious. Is there a wrestling going on? Yeah, there is. But it's all right. There's a patience. That's just part of the deal. You know, Luke says, talking about the sowing of the seed, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes away, steals the word from their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones who fell among the thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones who fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. You know, if there's fruit enough, there's that element of patience. And that's why I said the spirit of a sound mind is going to be a mind at rest. It's not in a hurry to bear fruit. You're patient. You're patient. Why? The Bible says one waters, one plants, but God gives the increase. Do you know that your faith doesn't even give the increase? Your faith just keeps the seed in the ground so that God can give the increase. Just keeping your mind stayed on things about God gives the, it's you're patiently waiting. It's like, wow, I got this favor, and I didn't have this favor all of a sudden. Just favor comes, things come as God gives you. See, he'll exalt you in due season. The enemy wants to exalt you now, out of due season. It'll corrupt you. God waits till that patience stuff has happened in you. Your heart's in a place, and now he can exalt you, and you're ready for it. And your focus is right, and you'll bring glory to God, even as God promotes you, because God knows your heart, and you're at a place where you're ready for it. So the spirit of a sound mind. Praise God, the spirit of a sound mind is in me. You know, whether I feel like I have a real sound mind or not, I have the spirit of a sound mind living on the inside of me. And there's things I can do to cooperate, praise God, with the one who is at peace and calm and in self-control. I can have a proactive mind. The things I can do, I can begin to set my mind on the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I've got a few passages that are just kind of like my lifeline passages. You know, Psalm 1, Psalm 23. You know, if you continue in my word, Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. You know, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. You got to have some arsenals of some things that you can just carry with you, that no matter where you are, they're in your heart, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And when that happens, you have that proactive mind. Okay, Lord, I'm going to set my mind on the things of your word. What happens? All my prayers answered immediately? No, life and peace happens. Life and peace happens. Soundness of mind happens. A reactive mind. Got things coming against me, I am not going to tolerate and put up with stuff in my mind. There are going to be times when I'm going to have to pull down, cast down, bring into captivity. I'm going to have to resist in the name of Jesus by faith things that are coming against my mind. And I don't have to have a degree to do this. I don't have to understand and have a spirit of the discerning of spirits and to see into the spirit world to be able to do this. I can by faith take my authority in Christ and resist the devil and break the power of those things off. The pattern is this: submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's the perfect pattern. And that's kind of what step one is, the proactive mind, setting your mind on things above. That's where you're submitting yourself to God. Step two, from that place, you resist the devil, he flees from you. Then finally, a mind at rest. And I just want to say, patience. As you're cultivating that spirit of a sound mind, you think of that Psalm 1 guy. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You think, that guy's got a spirit of a sound mind, stability. But you don't start out as a tree planted. You start out as a sapling planted. And then those roots get a little deeper and deeper and deeper by that water. And as you're drinking of the water of the word and the washing of the water of the word, your roots go a little deeper and deeper and deeper. And through faith and patience, you go from that sapling planted to the tree planted. So have patience with yourself as you're growing in this stuff, realizing that there is a process, and you're going to learn, and you're going to grow, and you're going to develop and mature spiritually all at the same time. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the greater one who lives on the inside of us, the powerful, precious Holy Spirit. And one of the descriptions, adjectives of the Holy Spirit is the fact that the Spirit is a spirit of a sound mind. That no matter what we're going through, the one who is that sound mind, the spirit of a sound mind, lives in us. Father, our desire this morning is to learn how to cooperate with the spirit of a sound mind. We know that the world amens the flesh, but we also know that the Spirit of God amens the Word of God. And I pray, Father God, that we would learn that as we set our mind on the things above, this precious Spirit of God, Spirit of a sound mind, just charge us with life and peace. Break the power of things coming against us and give us that patience. Praise God. To stay with it and to grow and to develop, to not give up, but through faith and patience, learn how to wield the sword of the Spirit. Learn how to walk in faith. Learn how to use this armor, Father God. We thank you for who lives on the inside of us. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. If your heart can agree, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I have not been given a spirit of fear. You don't command me to fear. You command me to fear not. And I thank you that I have been given a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. Help me to cooperate, to yield to that spirit of a sound mind as I set my mind on things above, the precious truths of your word. You are for me. No one can be against me. You love me with an everlasting love. It'll never come to an end. In the ages to come, I'll be discovering how much you love me. It gives me life and peace. I thank you, Lord. I can resist. I can react. I don't have to tolerate wrong thoughts, wrong spirits. I can resist them in Jesus' name, just like Jesus did, by declaring the Word of God. And Heavenly Father, I will have patience. I won't become sluggish. I won't give up, but I will develop and grow and inherit the revelation and walk in the reality of my authority. We thank you, Father, that I have the spirit of a sound mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.